Blog Talk Radio.
Whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ.
I want to welcome you if you are in North America or South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc country. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Everybody to ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads as we go before the Most High with our statement of faith, and that we pray in, and that we bring this Shabbat to a close. I want to remind everybody that when is the new, I have to look up for the new moon for June. I believe it's around the same time, the 20th of the month. But we are going to go into a study of the temple. That the temple is a representation of man, you know, the inner man, and that's what it represents. And so we're going to go into a deep study of that in conjunction with this false salvation. And so I pray that you attend. Pray that you got pencil and paper on this evening so that you take copious notes. All right, with that being said, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20-21. I believe there's one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We magnify your name, and we extol thee. For you are our Elohim, and there is no other like you, Father. No, not one. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise on today. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Yah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture for this evening. Let us go to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them. Reading the wrong thing. Yeah, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. I pray that everyone is being blessed by the false salvation series. You know, when I did that and started working on that, it just kept continuing to grow, to grow, to grow. And so the Most High takes me into all different aspects of this so that we can really learn to walk right before him. As I was thinking on what to do this evening, whether to continue in that for this evening or to proceed and go into something different, it's about that time of the year to do the Day of Yah and to look and see what the scriptures say. Because the Most High is going to transform this planet. He's going to transform everybody. And so in order to understand what he's going to do, you have to actually look at lot of people believe, and they believe that the Most High is slack concerning this promise. You know, why isn't he taking out, people aren't just falling dead right now. And he says, you know, I've selected a day that I'm going to judge all the world. And so we want to look at this precept. And, you know, I pray that you have, like I said, your pen and your pencil as we go before the Most High on this. Let's go ahead and sound the shofar and end this Shabbat.
Yes. Now will your heart and soul say yes, yes? Will your spirit still say yes? God is saying, there is more that I require of calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. 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 I'm calling you. I predestined you before the world began to do my will, to do my will. He said, seek my face. He says, seek my face. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice. He says, hear my voice, hear my voice, hear my voice. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you higher. So much more. So much more. So let your heart and soul say yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right. Amen. 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 Let us go ahead and jump into the step. I want to start off this precept with, let's start off with Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 34. The book of Isaiah chapter 34. And we're going to get verses 4 through 12, 4 through 17. Isaiah chapter 34, verses 4 through 17. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as the falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse, the judgment. The sword of Yah is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of kidneys of rams. For Yah has sacrificed in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bull, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of Yah's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone. And the land thereof shall become burnt pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever, from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. And the thorns shall come up in her places, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof. And it shall be a habitation of dragons and a court of owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the land, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow, and the street child also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay in hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek you out the book of Yah and read. Seek you out the book of Yah and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. And he has cast a lot of them, and his hand has divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation they shall dwell. So the Most High is saying that he's going to cause to roll the heavens together like a scroll. And the host of heaven shall fall down. In other words, they're not going to give their life. As the leaf falls from a vine, and as a falling fig from a tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea. Now, Idumea is another name for Esau or Edom. So let's go to the book of Amos, chapter 5. Who the day of Yah shall be upon. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yah. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yah. And let me get them back to you. Okay. All right. Amos chapter 5 and verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yah. To what end is it for you? The day of Yah is darkness and not light. So this is a day that Most High says we shouldn't desire it. Nobody should be asking for him to come back and to, you know, do his deed, you know, take care of the wicked, because none of us don't really know if we're going to make it. So he says, woe unto you that desire the day of Yah, because people don't really know what this day is going to be like. It's going to be a terrible day. It's not just going to be one day. The day of Yah actually runs about three and a half years in length. And so we have a lot of prophecies that feed into this. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Then Yah knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of justice. So Yah says you shouldn't desire this day, but Yah will keep the godly from temptation and keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. He's going to do this, that are unrighteous, those that don't keep his laws, under punishment. Go to Mark chapter 6, the book of Mark chapter 6. And let's get verses 11, 7 through 11. Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 11. And he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, do not put on two tunics. And figure I'm going to go to the Bible and get this one. I didn't copy the whole verse out. Give me a hot second. To them, in what place ever you enter into a house, there abide till you or depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart, then shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. For verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So the Most High is telling us that wherever he sends us to, if they receive us with the gospel, then Leave your blessing there. Leave your peace there. But anybody that rejects us, it's just going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah don't exist today than for that city that rejected us in the day of judgment. And so it's very important that we understand that this day of Yah, we have a lot to do in it if we do what we're told to do. Okay? We have a lot to do with it, and by going with the gospel. Okay? So let's go to Obadiah, chapter 1. The book of Obadiah, chapter 1. Now let's get verses 15 and 16. For the day of Yah is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine head, thine own head. For you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. So the day of the Most High, Yah says, what he's going to do is, this is coming upon the heathen. And everybody that has a heathen heart, those that don't believe in him. The heathen is anyone that don't accept him as Elohim, as the Savior, as our Savior. Okay? And so he says, they're going to drink, and he's the one that's going to cast them down. So it's coming on Idumea. Coming on the heathen, it's coming on anybody that rejected the gospel. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. The book of Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. For the day of Yah shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up. He shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant fixtures. Now, you know, a lot of people don't understand that even art, people worship art. They admire it, and people don't understand what worship is. And so the Most High says, going to be upon all pleasant pictures. Those are pictures, sculptures, and things that people admire. Because he says, don't make an image of anything and bow yourself down to it or admire it. Okay? And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and Yah alone shall be exalted in that day. So Yah himself says that anything that is puffed up, anything that is admired in the earth besides him, he's going to bring it down low. Anything that stands tall, the mountains will be made flat. If there is a wall around a city, those walls are going to crumble. Anything that looks like it is for the thing that looks like it's to be admired, anything that would stand up, everything can be brought low, including the loftiness of man. They said in verse 18, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. The idols are the false gods. What the Most High told Joshua to do when he brought them into the promised land was to tear down all their idols and to burn them in Jerusalem, in the promised land, in the land of Canaan. Burn them down and get them out of his land. When he returns, he's going to do this on a global scale. On a global scale. And it shall go into the holes of the rock and into the caves of the earth for fear of Yah and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the mole and to the bat, to go into the cliffs of the rock, and into the tops of the ragged rock, for fear of Yah, and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Seek you for man whose breath is in his nostril, for wherein he is to be accounted of. So the Most High says, men on in his day, when he comes, they're going to run into the mountains. They're going to run into the caves. They're going to try to be getting away from him and from this punishment that is coming. And they're going to take their idols and cast them into these caves to bury them, to try to hide that this is what they've been worshiping. Go to Isaiah chapter 13. The book of Isaiah chapter 13. Through 11. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 through 11. Behold, the day of Yah cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and waylay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Both. All right, so in these verses, Yah says that cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. Yah is coming, and he's going to make the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. All sinners. Give me a hot second, please. All right. So he says that he's going to find my place here. Go back to verse 6. We read verses 9 through 11. Let's go back to verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of Yah is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall be take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. He says, behold, the day of Yah cometh, and cometh cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. Yah is coming to take out his wrath on the earth in this day. And so he's coming to remove all the sinners. He's coming to remove all false gods. He's going to remove anything that offends him. And he says, and his sword shall be bloody. So he's coming to kill people in his fierce anger. And he says, cruel. He's not going to be nice. He's going to be cruel with this. Because man has, this day is the day that he set aside, and man has run his patience to the end. And so when the Most High comes in, he's you know, saying, all right, now I'm justified in what I'm about to do. And I'm not going to have mercy, and I'm not going to do it with, you know, nicely. This is why this is not a day that we should desire. We shouldn't pray for this day to come. Because so cruel is it going to be, and so terrible, that if you live through this day, you will probably have PTSD. For real, for real. But then you will probably be healed immediately, because you will know that Yah spared you. You didn't die in that day. you know you were among the righteous. But he's going to kill everything else. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. Imagine that you go outside and it's night, clear night, and there are no stars. There's no moon. It's just darkness. And there's no clouds. Imagine that. And the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and is going forth, and the moon shall not cause their light to shine. Now, if the sun is darkened, the moon is also going to be darkened because the moon only reflects the light of the sun. So the Most High put out the sun or blocks the sun, however he's going to do this. He says not even the stars are going to give their light. That is going to be dark, utter darkness. And the only one that we're going to actually see coming is him. He tells us in the New Testament. We're only going to see him coming. Nothing else, nothing is going to compete with him. Not the sun, the moon, the stars, planet, nothing in the heavens is going to compete with him when he comes forth in his full glory. And when he comes forth in his full glory, he says he's not coming plain. He's going to be cruel. He's going to be fierce. He's coming in his full wrath. Verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, the wicked for their lawlessness, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. So everything that is puffed up, he's going to bring it down. He's going to bring it down low and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. All those people and every power that thinks that it is, you know, that it's terrible, that it's mighty, God says, I'm going to show you might. I'm going to terrible. He says, I will make a man more precious than gold, and even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Now, that was some type of, I don't even know what this wedge was, but it had to be pretty expensive and pretty precious. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. Hear what Yah is saying. I'm going to move the earth out of its orbit. Right now, we got everything is steady. Everything is a law. The earth goes around and rotates in 365 and a quarter days. You change that orbit. If you move the orbit a little bit closer to the sun, the earth travels around the sun faster. If you move it out of the orbit outward, the earth takes longer to travel around the sun, take more than 365 days. Same way, if it moves it closer to the sun, the weather's going to change. We are in what's called a Goldilocks zone for our planet. We get the seasons. It don't get too hot where life can't live here. It don't get too cold where life can't live here. But the Most High says he's going to move the earth out of her place. Didn't say which way he's going to do it. So just think, if he moves it out of its orbit and he moves it further out, and I don't think it's going to be further out because he doesn't talk about ice storms. He doesn't talk about everything freezing over. What he talks about is the water being removed. So if you move the earth closer to the sun, the water and the oceans and every place else will start to evaporate. It would become extremely hot. So it sounds like he's going to move it in its orbit closer, move it much. There will I shake the heavens, and the earth shall be removed out of her place in the wrath of Yahweh in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as a chaste roe, as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee everyone into his own land. So all of the nations, what I hear in this verse, if everyone returns to their own land, everybody thinks that, you know, either this is some type of world war, they think that they're fighting some other type of enemy, and so the world, everybody's going to return to their home country and to unite as one. But he says, everybody's going to return to their own land. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through. Everyone that's found going to be thrust through with the sword. And everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives wrecked. So this force that's coming, it seems like it's part human as well. Because ravishing the wives is paramount to raping them. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver as for gold, and they shall not delight in it. So these people that he's sending, when he does this, he said money can't buy them all. They are working for him. And they're going to kill men. They're going to be raping women. They're going to be killing children. It's not going to be a good time at all. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces. Verse 18. And they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. Now, when people, most people don't read this, and they don't understand when God says that he does terrible things, he's going to do terrible things. So when we're, as we're reading this, understand that this type of anger, if you are evil, God is not saying that the children are innocent. God is not saying that the young people are innocent. If you grew up in iniquity, if you grew up not obeying his commandments, he's not going to have pity. He's not going to allow these men to have pity. So you have to be marked. There has to be a way that he determines if you're right by his seal. Okay, that he's going to place on people. But they know who to kill and who not to kill. And they're not sparing. There's not even children in the womb. If they found a woman pregnant, they're not going to have mercy. They're going to kill her and the child in her. They're going to dash the children to pieces. They are going to, their eyes shall not spare children. If they're coming with swords and things like that, they're just hacking. Wow, what's going on here? They're just packing everything up. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdom. Now, the glory, I told you Babylon, even though we try to equate Babylon with a certain country, Babylon means confusion. And Babylon means man's attempt at governing himself. So these are all the governments. The beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when Elohim overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So he rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what he said, I'm going to rain down fire. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch a tent there. So he's really coming against the true Babylon, the city Babylon, in Iraq. He says, and it's Arabians, the Arabs won't live there anymore. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. And then what we've already read, he's going to allow the wild beasts to take it over. And wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and the owls shall dwell there, and the satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate house, and the dragons in their pleasant palace. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. So the Most High says, I'm coming fiercely. I'm going to cause everybody to return back to their own land. And then I'm coming with judgment. And I'm going to be using the Medes. The Arabian is going to be used. And he says, I'm not going to spare man, woman, child. So this is a terrible time. Let's continue. Go to Zephaniah. Book of Zephaniah. Chapter 1. The word of Yah which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cush, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith Yah. Now, this is when he's talking about raising Israel. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heavens and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith Yah. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And the name of the Shemarim with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetop, and them that worship swear by Yah, and that swear by Malcham, and them that are turned back from Yah, and those that have not sought Yah, nor inquired for him. Hold thy peace at the presence of Yah Elohim, for the day of Yah is at hand. For Yah has prepared a sacrifice. He has bid his guest. And it shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass in the day of Yah's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, says Yah, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and an howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hill. How, ye inhabitants of Mektas, for all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. Time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lease, that say in their heart, Yah will not do good. That Yah will not do good, neither will he do evil. Yah ain't going to do nothing, is what he's saying. That's what men will be saying. I'm going to show them what I'm going to do. Therefore, their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of Yah is near. It is near. And haste greatly, hurries greatly, even the voice of the day of Yah. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, trouble, and distress, a day of wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and the alarm against the fenced city, against the high tower. And I will bring distress upon men, that they will walk like blind men, because they have sinned against Yah, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. I said, you know what? Yah has doo-doo to me. Silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yah, in the day of Yah's wrath, for the whole land shall be devoured by fire, the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of them that dwell in the land. Now, this land he's talking about is the land of Israel. I'm going to raise this land by fire. I'm going to purify it with fire. That is rough. If you are not his, he's not going to give you a place of safety. You're not going to escape. I'm going to clean up the land. Zephaniah chapter 2. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desire. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of Yah come upon you, before the day of Yah's anger come upon you. Seek you, Yah, all you meek of the earth. That's why we are doing what we're doing now. While we are looking at what salvation really is, while we are learning to keep his commandments, his statutes, his law, his ordinances, his judgments, while we are learning to become meek and not puffed up, because he says, I'm going to come against everything else. Seek ye, all you meek of the earth. Watch thou rot his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. This is important to the Most High. That we are meek, and that we are humble, and that we are contrite, that we are lawful, that we tremble at his word. It may be you shall be that you shall be hid in the day of God's anger. If you are meek, if you are righteous, if you seek to be righteous, you work his judgment, if you judge the way he judges. Because anything that is not like him, he says, you know what? I'm getting rid of it. And I'm going to do it in my anger. I'm not coming, oh, let me see. He already knows. You are mine or you are not mine. And anything that is not his, he is killing without mercy. In the land of Israel, and I don't know if I put these verses in here, but it says, and I think it may even be globally, but I'll say it just in case I didn't put it in. It's going to take 9 months, 7 or 9 months, for them to clean up all the dead bodies. Think about that. You are burying dead people every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it takes you 9 months to bury all the dead. Now think about this. There is a river of blood coming from the throne of Elohim, not that this fountain coming from his throne, but at this time it's going to be a river before he puts the throne there, a river coming from Jerusalem. 200 miles long, 6 feet deep. How many people have to get killed to make a river 200 miles long and 6 feet deep? When you think about the average person talking about in the billions of people to make a river like that. Billions to make a river like that. For Gaza, verse 14, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Chariotites. The word of Yah is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy you, that there shall be no inhabitant. And the seacoast shall be dwelling in the cottages for shepherds. And the fold for flocks shall be the remnant of the house of Judah. The only place they're going to be able to be inhabited in Israel is the coastline. And they're going to be shepherds there with their flock. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon. They shall lie down in the evening, for Yah, their Elohim, shall visit them and turn away their captivity. I'm going to take your captivity off of you. All, and this is the remnant. Okay? And he's going to allow us to inhabit the coastline of Israel. But the interior won't be habitable. Now, I got to tell you how few of us there's actually remaining. Remember, Yah says he's only saving a remnant of Israel. That remnant will inhabit the coastline. Everything on the interior, Yah says, you know what? All kind of evil wickedness has gone on in this land. All kind of bloodshed, all kind of evil acts, homosexuality, bestiality, innocent bloodshed, kill everybody in it, and then I'm going to clean it by fire. And only the coast will be inhabited. Verse 8, I have heard the reproach of Moab and the violence of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people, blasphemed my people. Remember that word reproach means blaspheme. They have blasphemed my people and magnified themselves against their border. They increase in the border. They're going to attack his people. Therefore, as I live, saith Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah. I'm going to utterly destroy these people. Even the breeding of nettles and salt pits and perpetual desolation, the residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. I told you this is the remnant. This is not everybody who claims that they're Israel. It's not everybody who says they're saved. These are the ones that seek after righteousness and after meekness, that humble themselves, and that fear Yah, and don't give their own opinion, only give what he says, only says what he says, because this is what he's after. That's what Messiah said when he was defending himself from, you know, from the day of temptation. It is written, thou shalt live by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of Elohim. We're to use his word. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached or blasphemed and magnified themselves against the people of Yahweh. See, this is how I know the nations, people want to say the nations gave us this book, okay? But the nations would not leave stuff like that in there. They say the nations have changed the book. You got to be awfully dumb if you're going to take someone's holy book and then you're going to change it and leave your own destruction in it. It doesn't matter if they try to claim that they're the people of the book. The bottom line is, Yah knows who's are his. Leave it in there thinking that, oh, we'll fool them that it's us. It doesn't change the fact that Yah knows who they are and who's not, and who have blasphemed his people. So there's no way that they have changed this book. There's no way that Yah has allowed them to corrupt it. Because if it was me and I was them, and I'm trying to tell you that, you know, I'm trying to steal your identity, and I see it says that Yah is going to destroy everybody that blasphemes his people. If I were one of them and I'm changing the book, I would be taking that out. So I know Yah didn't allow them to take it out. And he didn't allow them to take out, they're going to become the servants of Israel. He didn't allow them to corrupt his book. He is able to protect his word. And there's no way, if I'm them, the heathen, am I going to give you your book back? It has all this in it. And tell you that he's my God. That is stupidness on their part. But Yah is in control. Point blank. So I know, as crafty as they are, as much as they steal from other people, the Gentile nation, and claim it for their own, as they have the ability and the power, they would have changed it. So I know that Yah protects his word. That's how I know that we have to believe every bit of it. Because if Yah is not able to protect his word, everything's word, spoken or written. And so we can't say, you know, the Gentiles changed it. Yah is able to protect own word. And so all of them that blaspheme us, who came against us, who held us as slaves in perpetual slavery, Yah is going to get them because they magnified themselves against us. We are the apple of his eye. And even if he's mad at us, he says, I'll punish my own people. I will destroy those that are disobedient from among my own people. I will destroy those that cause the nations to blaspheme me. My people caused them to blaspheme me. All those that were disobedient to me, who didn't repent and return to me and keep my laws, my statutes, my commandments, and my judgment, I call those rebels. And I'm going to destroy them. I will get them. But the nation, I didn't tell you to do everything that you did. And you conspired together that my people should not be a people. And so you could take their place. So Yah is angry. He's going to redeem the remnant. But the remnant are those who truly repent. Those who truly repent. The remnant is those that truly repent and turn back to Yah to do what it is that he wants. So don't ever let anybody convince you otherwise. Don't look at today and feel like, you know, the nations are going to be in charge forever. And, you know, we're just at their mercy. Yah is keeping track of everything. And he shall repay. That is our hope. We've got to make sure that we are being obedient to him. We are being obedient to him. Let's read verses 9 and 10 again. Therefore, as I live, saith Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, surely Moab, I think I rolled down. No, I'm sorry, I lost my place. Okay. Starting at verse 8 again. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the violence of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith Yah of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah. Even the breeding of nettles and the salt pits and the perpetual desolation, the residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. Shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached, blasphemed, and magnified themselves against the people of Yah of hosts. Yah will be terrible unto them. Terrible unto them. For he will famish all the Elohims of the earth. I'm going to get rid of. Famish means to starve. I'm going to take away, I'm going to kill all these people that worship all these false gods. And these false gods won't have anybody to worship them. And men shall worship him, everyone from his palace, from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. You Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by the sword. And he will stretch out his and will make Nineveh a desolation and a dry like a wilderness. And the flock shall lie down in the midst of her. And all the beasts of the nation, both the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper isles or the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the window. Desolation shall be in the threshold, for he shall uncover cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How she has become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in. Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his hand. Zephaniah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in Yah. She drew not near to her Elohim. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are even wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the marrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence in the law to the law. The just Yah is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Yah says, I'm not gonna come here and be killing y'all for nothing. Every morning does he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth not shame. So the Most High says, every day I told you how to clean this up. Every morning you rise up new. I told you what to do to become just, but you don't become just. You know no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passes by. Their cities are just so that there is no man, that there is none inhabited. I said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose up early and corrupted all their doings. He says the same thing in Revelation. When these judgments start coming, it's to bring men to repentance. But they're going to find reason not to repent. Oh, it's global warming. Oh, it's caused by China. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Thing but him. They're going to give glory to everything but the Most High, and they're not going to repent. He says, and for all that, when I take away all the fish out of the ocean, when I cause all the trees to burn, when there's nothing green for the animals to eat, and all the animals start dying out, and the world starts starving of starvation, for everybody but my remnant, my chosen, I will hide them. I will keep them. Because for all that they go through, they won't repent. They won't listen. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith Yah, until the day that I rise up to the prey. The day that I rise up to the prey means the day that I rise up and become the hunter. For my determination is gathered to the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy, and destroy the whole earth by fire. Now imagine this. The atmosphere rolls away. Boom! A loud clap, and there's no air. There's not a lot of air. And so now the rays from the sun could freely come in. The ultraviolet rays could come in and cook people, cook animals. You know, I'm going to do this. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people of pure language, that they may call upon the name of Yah, to serve him with one consent. To serve Yah with one consent, one mind. We better obey him. That's the mind we have to have. That's the key to everything. Hear his voice and obey him. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplicant, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring my offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then will I take away out of the midst of them that rejoice in thy pride, that thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Come out haughty. Come out with your neck stuck out, proud, puffed up. He says the daughters of Israel, what they were haughty, they had their neck stuck out as though they were all that in a bag of chips, mincing their hips, walking and switching, and acting like the world, and thinking that they were all that in a bag of chips. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. This is who he's looking for. And they shall trust in the name of Yah. An afflicted and poor people. The rich, the proud, the wealthy, the puffed up. Those that think, you know, that don't fear him. They're not making it. All those who are going to make it into the land, you got to be brought down. You got to fear the Most High. Got to do what he says to do. And got to do it in light of what people say, what people think. The world don't have the heart of the Most High. The world is running off of brotherly love. They think that what man says is correct. So Yah said, No, you gotta do what I say do. And I want those that are meek before me and humble before me, those that seek righteousness, to do the law. They got to be the ones before me. Okay? And thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. They shall trust in the name of Yah. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. If you survive and you're Israel, you're going to be keeping his law too late. You're not going to start doing it when he comes back and be like, what, you're going to start to do right because you see me? No. You're going to die and without mercy. I will also leave, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Yah has taken away thy judgment. He has cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even Yah, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. So we got to hold on. We got to do what's right in the eyes of Yah. At this day, we know it. Everybody feels it, that today, we don't know the exact day, but I know everybody feels it. Everybody knows that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. So whether it's a year, a day, 3 years, 10 years, 100 years, it don't matter. That's no time to Yah. What we don't want to do is have him catch us off guard. No, Yah is not coming right now. These prophecies have to be fulfilled. These things have to be done. You don't know what prophecies Yah has fulfilled in his own eyes and say, well, that's done. And men are misinterpreting it and waiting for, oh, this can't happen because this hasn't happened yet. Well, you don't know. That's why he tells us, watch. Always watch for his return. Don't wish for it because it's going to be terrible, but watch. He says, in the servant that I kept not watching, I'm going to punish him with stripes. I'm going to whip that behind, and he's going to wish he had watched. The rebels I'm going to kill. So we're told to watch. Be always vigilant. You see, if Yah doesn't reveal it to someone exactly when he's returning, if he doesn't show it, then we won't, he says, you're not going to know. He says, I reserved that time to myself. So men trying to interpret prophecy and thinking that they can say, oh, this has happened, that has happened. This hasn't happened yet. This got to happen. There's only a few prophecies that you can do that way. To do what I told you to do and be watching for my return. Okay? And then you will be saved. Verse 16. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hand be slack. Yahweh Elohim is in the midst of thee. Yahweh Elohim in the midst of thee is mighty. He will say, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. But see, people act like keeping a solemn assembly to the Most High is a task. They ain't got time to be bothered with. People who broke this, people who keep it, he says, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Now, the blaspheming of it was a burden to them. Those that didn't keep it, those that kept it, it was a blasphemous to them for those that didn't keep it. It was like, wow, they don't have no respect for the Most High. They're not keeping his laws. They willfully disobeying even his solemn assembly. That's why I said when he says it's a solemn assembly, we're not there rejoicing and hooting and hollering and partying. It's disrespectful. The Passover, to turn it into a feast and a party, is disrespectful. You remember Messiah and it's his death. That was nothing to rejoice over. You're happy that you're saved, but the fact that he had to go through that to save us, the fact that he had to be beaten beyond recognition, that his mother couldn't recognize him for us, that's nothing to rejoice over. That's nothing to party over. He says, do this in remembrance of me. That's not a joyous occasion. People don't even keep the solemn assemblies. They are doing things that they're not supposed to do. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, that stops and gathers her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. So when Yah gathers up, he says, in every land where they put you to shame at, where they blasphemed you, my people. And a lot of people don't, the world doesn't understand. When it treats us bad, it's also blaspheming the Most High, because they feel like they can treat the people of the Most High's possession any kind of way they want to. But Yah says, you don't mess with the apple of my eye. You don't do that and get away with it. But while they have been getting away with it and treating us any kind of way, at the same time they've been blaspheming us, which also blasphemes Yah. At that time, I will bring you again. Even in the time that I gather you, for I will make your name and praise among all people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith Yah. I'm going to reverse this thing. And all of you who I select and gather, all you who I select and all you who I gather, all you who make it through, this is what he says to you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith Yah. The glory that we were supposed to have in the earth from the very beginning when he selected us as a nation, if our forefathers had believed him, all the nations, he said, I will make you the head and not the tail. Over all nations. He's still going to do that because that was a promise. And you will be blessed in your going ins and in your going ins and your coming out. all the promises that he made to Israel, he will fulfill them. And in the end, we will be the head and not the tail. And all the nations will come and bow to us, saying, and they're going to bow to our Elohim, our King. So understand that the book of Zephaniah is all about the day of Yah and his turning back, getting rid of all the evil in Israel, and him turning back our judgment from us, redeeming us. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. I pray we can hear this. I pray any Gentiles hearing that they also hear this and understand Yah knows his. Did the sermon on the spirit of superiority, where the Gentiles believe that they are superior to us. And they act, you know, and they come at us from that position. They need to repent of that. They need to repent of all the things that they have done against the people of Yah. They need to repent of that. Malachi chapter 4, starting in verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. The day is coming that all those people who are proud and wicked, they're going to be the ones that's going to burn. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yah of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. I'm going to burn, you know, you burn a tree. The roots are deep in the ground. And really, that stump, if some stump is left, as long as moisture gets to the root, that tree can start growing a new twig or a new branch. Yah says, I'm going to burn it. I'm going to even burn the roots thereof. The roots aren't going to, I'm going to kill it all the way down to the root. Ain't nothing going to survive of this, of the wicked. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. The calves of the stall are not wild. They are kept. They are brought in, they're watered, they're fed, they're let out into the field to eat. They're guarded. So he's telling you that you're going to be taken care of. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this. Think about that, what he's saying. I'm going to come and burn up the wicked and proud. I'm going to burn them up, and they're going to be ashes under your feet. They're going to be everywhere. And you walk on them and crush their bodies. They're ashes. They're nothing. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yah. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant. No, we ain't up under that law. That law don't apply to us. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgment. That's why I say, my Hebrew brothers and sisters, y'all better not leave out those judgments. Y'all better stop saying we keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments and don't do his judgment. You're going to fall short. You ain't going to make it. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yah. So we have to look for another prophet, Elijah. And he may not come in the name of Elijah. Just like John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. The Messiah said, y'all don't know it, but that is Elijah. So Elijah's coming back again. And I wonder if the people will reject him. Because Elijah's job, like John the Baptist's job, was to announce the return of Yah, the arrival of Yah. Yah's coming. The voice of one crying in the wilderness came in the spirit of Elijah. That was John the Baptist. I think it's going to come the same way. And people are not going to believe him, or not going to believe. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great day and dreadful day, the great and dreadful day of Yah. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I want a righteous generation, and that's what we're supposed to be trying to do on the land. To start to raise a righteous generation, to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children, and that they do righteousness, that we raise up a generation that is not going around fornicating and committing adultery and lying and cheating and stealing and murdering, that the young women keep their virginity until they are married, and the young men don't try to sleep with the girls and cause them to fall. Don't try to turn our women into harlots. This is the way Yah wants. Before he returns. And I'm not saying that I'm alive, because I'm not. But I know this is what Yah wants. This is the vision he gave me. And we're to do it in our own little part. And so I pray that we can hear this and that we don't become disheartened, that we don't become frustrated. How the day of Yah will come. Look at this again in more detail. How that day will come. Now, we read this before. I'm going to go into it a little bit more. We're going to use Thessalonians with it this time. How ye, for the day of Yah is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pain and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as women that travail. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flame, like on fire, you know, with when your face is hot and you're mad and angry, or you are terribly ashamed. This is what he's talking about. Let's go to Thessalonians, chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 1. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now this is Paul talking to the Thessalonians. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yah so cometh as a thief in the night. Matthias said in the parable, if you knew when somebody was coming to rob you, you will be prepared. He says, you're not going to be prepared for this. It's going to come as a thief in the night. When you're asleep, when you're not prepared. Maybe you're not sleeping, you're in your night clothes. That's how it's going to come. Now, he also says that it's going to come as it's going to be as in the day of Noah. And people will be given in marriage. They will be marrying and taking in marriage. They will be doing life as normal. Then he says, suddenly destruction. And there's not going to be a warning. When I read that concerning Noah, and I went back and looked at what Messiah said, he said they didn't know. In the days of Noah, they didn't know until destruction was on them. What was happening? Noah did not preach, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Y'all is coming to destroy y'all behind. Y'all better repent. Not what he preached. Know what he preached? Y'all better start keeping the commandments of the Most High. Y'all better stop sinning. He was a preacher of righteousness. That meant that he preached the law. That's what he preached. Y'all better do right. Y'all better repent. Y'all better turn back toward the Most High. And they didn't. And so they didn't know until it started raining. What's that? It had never rained before. From the time of creation until that time, the Most High watered the ground by a mist, like a fog, that would come upon the ground. And you know how fog can be heavy and it makes the ground wet with dew? Well, that's the way he watered the ground until the flood. Then all hell broke loose. All the water that was in the atmosphere gathered together, low and high atmosphere. All the water that was in the earth, Most High caused it to shoot forth out of the ground. And there's more water in the earth. Now imagine in this day, he's just going to destroy it by fire. So imagine it starts to rain hell mixed with fire like he did to Egypt. And it just rains hard, though. Hell mixed with fire. And everything that it touches is light. And imagine that the earth starts to break open and all the lava that's in the inside of the earth starts coming out and shooting forth all over the world. And you know, ain't nothing surviving that lava like that. Wherever it is, it's going to be torment, death. This says it cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travaileth upon a woman with child. So we have to know, he says it already. People are going to say, it's a time of peace. It's a time of safety. The world is at rest. There is no war anywhere. We can't say that, at least for the last 50 years, 100 years, it's been a war someplace. There's a war someplace in this earth, a conflict someplace in this earth, every day. This country, America, is a warring country. There's not been a decade that we haven't been at war with another nation or nation. We're even helping Ukraine right now. We're involved with that war, if not directly, indirectly. But there's going to come a time when there's going to be peace everywhere. When we see that, then red flags should shoot up. There's peace on earth everywhere. That's a sign. And they're going to be saying peace and safety. Then sudden destruction will come. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now he said, I'm coming as a thief in the night. But if we are in tune with the Most High, going up, we should see them and say, up, 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 something's up. When he says you hear of wars and rumors of wars, as long as there are wars and rumors of wars, He says it is a sign of the end, but not yet. What is the true sign of the end? Peace and safety brought about by men. Let's get these scriptures real quick. Hold on. Go to Matthew. We'll come back to this. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, no, chapter 24. And let's start in verse 4. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Be careful that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I am the power and wisdom of Elohim unto salvation, and shall deceive many. They're going to come, many are going to come claiming to be salvation, the Savior of man. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. You be not troubled. You see, people be looking at all the stuff going on the earth, and they think the time is near. Oh, it's a sign. It's actually telling you, no. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise, and this is ethnicity, shall rise against ethnicity, and kingdom against kingdom. So there's going to be race wars and countries fighting against other countries based upon race. And there's going to be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows, but it's not the end. The sign that we're supposed to look for, he gave us in Thessalonians. Peace. When the world says peace and safety, then our ears could be like some dog ears when they hear a sound. They don't know what it is. Whoop, what? What did they just say? Peace everywhere? The world has signed a peace agreement and nobody's going to go to war with anybody. We're going to all come together in brotherly love, caring for one another, having one another's best interest at hand, then sudden destruction. Then shall they deliver you and I up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You got to be willing to die for this. If you're alive, you got to be willing to die for it. You can't buy into their madness. Because you're going to be against brotherly love if you know what it's about. I pray that, like I said, I pray that this precept of the Most High has been having me to do on false salvation. Pray that you hear it and that it blesses you. Because the world is going to come with saying, oh, you are against brotherly love. You are the enemy. Because your standard is going to be the standard of the Most High. Agape love. And you shall be hated of all nations. Why? For my name's sake. Those that are saying that they are with Messiah, and they says, I never knew you, they are not going to be killed for his name's sake. They are going to buy into brotherly love. Only the true believers, those that he has revealed the truth to. No, we're not going for that. We're not falling for that brotherly love stuff. We're not going for anything that is against the scriptures of the Most High. That is against his word. We're not going for that. Oh, well, you're going to die. Because you are anti-us. But what they're teaching is actually anti-Christ. Anti-Messiah. And then shall many be offended. Pray. We believe in him, but then they're going to do what? Start betraying one another. And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall what? Rise. And shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, people just ain't right. And you see enough of it, then you start to become discouraged. And natural love becomes cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, what has to happen before all that comes? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. So we have to preach the true gospel. We have to tell the truth. It don't matter if people accept it. It don't matter if they come running in droves to Yah or not. It don't matter if they are attracted to the ministry or not. Not our job. Our job is to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to fear Yah. That's what we must do. We don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. That's Yah's job. Our job is to tell them. Revelation chapter 14, then we'll return to Thessalonians. Revelation chapter 14. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. I saw another messenger fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Elohim, fear him, this is what they're not doing, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. We have to, that's the gospel to go out, to bring people. And it's not drawing them. It's actually chasing them away. Because they don't want to fear him. I won't serve a God I have to fear. My God is all love, and he's all mercy, and he's all kindness. He's all understanding. No, he says, I do terrible things, and you better fear me. Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. This is the gospel in the last day. This is the everlasting gospel. Fear Yah. Keep his commandments. That is the gospel. Because that is what's going to bring you back to salvation. It's going to make you do and keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinance, and his judgment. That and that alone. You're not going to do it out of love. Don't even know the Most out of loving. But if you know he's going to do terrible things, if you know that he ain't playing, you know that that day when it comes, if he says it's going to be terrible, don't you wish for it? Don't you desire it? If you got good sense, you don't want to see this. But the day of Yah will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. Listen to what he's saying. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Where I got this from. Just a second, I apologize. the heck? Am I not spelling something right? We already read this. Yeah, 5 and 2. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. I got this from another place. Hold on just a second. All right, I'm just going to read it. But the day of Yahweh will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. So he's telling us that I'm going to destroy the earth by fire. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and holiness, or in hastening the coming of the day of Yah, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? Go back to Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 18. What will not be delivered in the day of Yah? Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 18. And the word of the Most High reads, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of Yah's wrath. Can't buy your way out of this. So the rich, it won't help them to be rich. The mighty, it won't help them to be mighty. The rest of that verse. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make a complete end, indeed a terrifying one, of all the inhabitants of the earth. You are either going to be protected by Yah, or you're not. You're going to be hid by Yah, or you're not. If you're here at this time, you are either hid by him and protected by him, or you're not. You're not. Everything else doesn't escape. It does not escape. Okay? Of all the inhabitants of the earth. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 4. What's going to deliver you? Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 11, and verse 4. I don't know where I got verse chapter 8. Proverbs 11 and verse 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Being obedient, keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. That's righteousness. That's what's going to deliver you. For the day of Yah. Go to 2 Peter. And let's get chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 5 through 7. 5 through 7. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Yah, by the word of Elohim, the heavens were of old, and the earth standeth out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day that is with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. So, you know, we're thinking one day, it could be 1,000 years, it could be one day, or it could be 1,000 years, or any time in between that. I'm not giving y'all the exact time. Yah is not bringing to us word or toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of Yah will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's where I got that verse from. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth shall also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Yah said that the earth is reserved to be destroyed by fire. The same law that was put in place to flood it to kill all men, the same law is in place but is reserved to happen by fire this last time. Saved by the day of Yah. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Seek ye Yah, all you meek of the earth, which have worked his judgment. Remember the Most High, and I can't stress this enough, the Most High is concerned about people who don't keep his judgment. You got my commandments, you got my laws, you got my ordinance, say that X happens, this is what you do concerning X, and you don't do it. He says, we don't belong to him. He wants those that are going to work his judgment. We're going to do them. Because when we don't do his judgment, we think that we are more righteous than he is. We place our righteousness over his. And that's a problem. Seek you righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of Yah's anger. If you're meek and you're seeking righteousness, maybe you'll be hid. Maybe you'll be protected. But it's clear, if you're not meek, if you're not doing his judgment, if you're not keeping his law, you will not be hidden. You will not be hid. Point blank. So when people want to play with this thing, I don't see anywhere to play with it. Just do what he says to do. What are we supposed to do until the day of judgment comes? Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. You'll know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yah, your Elohim, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass, after I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon my servants, upon my handmaidens. In those days will I pour out of my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of Yah come. So until that time comes, we're supposed to be seeking to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High, to be walking in his way, to keep his judgment, to be prophesying what's to come, to be teaching salvation, teaching of what Messiah did, and keeping his law on the name of Yah shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be delivered, as Yah has said, and the remnant whom Yah shall call. Yah is not calling everybody. Many are called. And out of those that are called, few are chosen. If we're not doing what he said to do, trust that we won't be hidden. If we are half-assed doing what he said to do, we won't make it. Because I require you to do it with your whole heart. I require you to give it your all. I require it for it to be your priority. the first thing on your mind. More precious to you than anything. If we don't have that mentality, we're not giving him what he wants. And I don't believe we'll be hidden if we're here for that day. Everyone who will listen, who Yah has chosen, this is what you need to do to escape. This, you better be keeping his laws, his statutes, commandments, his judgments. You better be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. You better be teaching the gospel. You better be doing all these things. And you better be very meek about it. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Book of Acts chapter 2. Starting in verse 17. In the last days, saith Yah, saith Elohim, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Now this is when it's going to end. And the moon into blood. Before the great and notable day of Yah come, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. This is what we're supposed to be doing until he comes. When this time comes to an end, when he starts pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, here. Well, no, we can finish. We'll go ahead and finish. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Book of Matthew, chapter 10. So I'll run a little bit late, but we'll finish. Matthew, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, this is what people are trying to replicate. They're doing it in his name, but they're not keeping his laws. They're not keeping his judgment. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These twelve Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he told his apostles, Don't go to the Gentiles, and don't go into the Samaritans. We're going to start here in Judah and go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel here in Judah. And as you go preaching, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor strip for your journey. Neither, so don't make any plans for your journey. Just go where the Spirit leads you. Neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staff, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide you till you go thence. Salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house or the city, take off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in the name, in the same hour, what you shall speak. For it is not yet, it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. We got to understand it's important that we have the Ruach. Because it's the Spirit of who? The Father. The Holy Spirit is, as I told you, Elohim. He's going to speak through you. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father to child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. Don't be afraid to run. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord or his master. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of the household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. When I tell you in darkness, that speak you in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetop. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, without Elohim knowing. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Wherefore, unto whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, if you think that you don't have to obey him and you claim him, that you are claiming him, you're actually denying him. Because how are you going to claim somebody you don't obey? Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I didn't come to bring peace. If you are following Messiah, truly following him, there's not going to be peace in your house following him. If you're not obeying his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments, they're going to be looking at you like you crazy. And a man's foes, those that are against him shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than he loves me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose. Now we know we read in Luke, he says, if you do these things, he says, you can't be his disciple. But you're not worthy of him. He that findeth his life and lose it, and he loses his life for my sake, shall find it. He that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So we got to understand this is what we are to be doing. Spreading this gospel. Teaching people to fear Yah. Keep commandments, his judgment. To be filled with his spirit. To walk in his ways until he returns. So I pray that we understand what this day is about. Yah is coming, and he's going to take out his wrath on this whole earth. He's going to remove the wicked. The ones being raptured out of here, so to speak, are the wicked. They're being removed. They're being killed. The righteous aren't being taken out of the world. The righteous are going to inherit the world. The righteous are going to be changed. But you're going to have to be in the form of Messiah. You have to receive your new body and be in the form of Messiah. In its true form. Receive that new body because you can't be in his presence in this form. When he returns to the earth, we cannot be in his presence in this form. When he melts everything, the mountains, rock, gold, silver, iron, all the elements are going to melt. He's going to transform this earth. I will find the scriptures, and maybe I'll bring them next time, or just bring them up as, oh, here you go, for knowledge sake. Here are the scriptures going to remove the water from the earth. Not going to be any water except for coming out of his throne. That's going to be the water that waters the trees of life that are on each side of that river. So may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep the commandments, saints. For this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim is going to bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing. Shalom, family, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
So what can I do if I don't have you? It's
full of value. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Shalom, my sister. Shalom, Sister Denise. Sister Dennis.
Shalom.
Shalom. Peace and blessings. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
All right.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, my